pray with me. God, we love you and thank you. Thank you for saving us, redeeming us, and giving us a future. We celebrate you today. And Father, as we open your word, give us ears to hear. Let the words that are spoken be yours and draw us closer to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Guilty. Guilty. The evidence is overwhelming. Our defense is non-existent. Look with me at Romans 3:23. Scripture foretold who we are. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's all of us. We're condemned. We have no defense. Our punishment? Look at Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. You see, many look at God as this judge who is overseeing us, waiting to pass judgment upon us. He's sitting on his throne with his black judge's robe, waiting for us to fall. But this judge is like none other. You see, if you look at that verse, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but, and the but changes everything, because that judge is a Savior, and no judge offers an opportunity like this one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Salvation is a gift. During the Spanish-American War, Claire Burton was working for the Salvation Army, overseeing the efforts in Cuba. Colonel Theodore Roosevelt came to her one day because his men were in need. They were in need of medical attention. They were in need of food. And he approached her and said, I will pay for the supplies that we need. She said no and turned him away. He was so perplexed, he could not understand why. He asked somebody, how can this be possible? What should I do? That person said, you approached it the wrong way. She's not going to sell you anything, but she will give you everything. You see, many of us think that salvation is something we earn, something we do, some way we act. Look with me at Romans 10, verse 9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God is risen from the dead, you will be saved. This is a gift. This believe, this idea that God so loved you that He sent His Son because you and I were guilty He sent His Son to save us. There's something interesting about it, though. You see, a gift is only a gift if you accept it. In 1830, George Wilson was convicted and sentenced to hang for robbing the U.S. mail. President Andrew Jackson offered him a pardon. He refused. Now, this was quite perplexing, and it even went to the Supreme Court, where Justice Marshall decided and ruled that a pardon is a piece of paper that is only good when the person's name on it accepts it. And George was hanged because he didn't accept it. You see, Christ paid for our sins, but it's only good when we accept it. And this idea you see through Scripture of, and in verse 9, those who believe. Understand this. Believe here in the Greek is an action verb. It's not, I believe the sky is blue. If you ask most people in this world, they will tell you, I believe in God. I believe there is a God. I believe He's real. I got news for you. Satan believes in Jesus. He knows who Jesus is. But this idea, this belief that He's talking about through Scripture is that I am going this way, and when I give Him my heart, I turn and go a completely different way. I am completely changed. Because when He comes into my life, everything changes. This is a struggle, though. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. See, we've been forgiven. And when we accept that, and God comes in to change our life, who we become and our future is changed. But it doesn't mean we won't struggle. And I'll tell you one of the hardest things for us as Christians and believers to grasp and understand is forgiveness. Peter comes up to Jesus and said, how many times should I forgive somebody? Look at Jesus' response. Chapter 18, verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with a servant who borrowed money from him. In the process, one of the debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Verse 25, he couldn't pay. So the master ordered him to be sold along with his wife and children and everything he owed to pay the debt. Verse 26, but the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me. I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity and he was released and his debt was forgiven. This is the picture of you and I coming before the throne of Christ, who are saying to Him, I cannot pay my debt of sin. I can't. And He loved us so much that He forgave our debt. He wiped our slate clean. I don't know about you, but if I had a debt of millions of dollars, I can't imagine when I'd ever be able to pay it. That analogy, that millions of dollars, pales in comparison to our debt. And Jesus forgave it. But look at verse 28. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. Verse 29, his fellow servant fell to the ground and begged him for a little more time. Be patient with me. I'll pay it. He pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. And he had the man arrested and put in prison until he could pay the debt in full. You know what we call that? A hypocrite. How could he demand $1,000 when he was forgiven millions? We can look in the mirror and find that person and say, why? Look at verse 31. When some of the other servants saw this, they were upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called the man that he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you a tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servants just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he could pay the debt. Verse 35, This is what my heavenly Father will do if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Now let's think about this for a minute. Forgiveness has a price. It has a cost. To God, to forgive us, it cost Him everything. When we accept Him and He comes into our heart, it changes us. And we are a flow of forgiveness. We can't stop it. We should be handing it out. But it's expensive. And sometimes it's hard. I want to illustrate this for you in a way that, you see, not everybody who has hurt you, has harmed you, has wronged you, will ask you for forgiveness. Many times they won't. But that doesn't release us from God's demand to forgive. And what takes place when you and I are harmed, there's a transaction. A spiritual transaction where when somebody hurts me, they give me a bag. Now, I cannot turn loose or get rid of this bag. It is with me forever. The person who gave it to me may go on their way and not ever think about it again. But for me, I have to carry this bag everywhere. What's in the bag depends on what happened. And some bags are bigger than others. Some offenses are much larger than others. Some things are small. But this bag is with us. What's in it? It depends. On a small offense, what most of the time we want is to understand why. Why did they do that? Why did they treat me that way? Why did they say that about me? What did I do that would cause them to act that way? Why? And we want the answer to that question. And we carry that bag, and you can be in the line at the grocery store and go to reach for your pocketbook and end up reaching into this bag and these emotions flood you again, and you start asking these questions, why? Some offenses are bigger. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your son or daughter. And they have done things that you can't begin to imagine. And in your bag is anger. How could they do that? They're supposed to love me. And then you're dealing with being sad. And you can't begin to express the betrayal. What did they do? How could they have done that? Other times, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it was your church, and somebody who is a professing Christian harmed you. And you're 100% right. You did nothing wrong. And yet, they give you a bag, and you're stuck with it, carrying it. And at the most inopportune times, you run across that bag looking for something else, and you have to start dealing with maybe guilt. How could this have happened to me? Did I do something wrong? The questions never stop coming. They're endless. You keep asking yourself, maybe if I had done something different. Maybe if I'd acted a different way. Maybe if I... The questions never stop. Maybe you hate them. Maybe you're afraid of being hurt again. So I'm just not going to go to church. I'm just not going to get close to anybody. I'm just going to stay away. And what happens to you is you carry all this baggage. And you look like me coming in this morning. You can't even begin to move because there's so much baggage. You see, you and I have a Savior who forgave us. And what He wants from us is to forgive others. I told you you're stuck with this bag, and you are. You'll carry it, you'll forget about it. Maybe even for years you won't think about it. And then when you least expect it, you find yourself digging through that bag again, looking for answers, feeling things you haven't felt. There's a solution. You see, there is one way to get rid of these bags. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. I'll take the bag. Jesus is the only way to get rid of a bag. And it is through forgiveness. You show up before a Savior who gave the ultimate forgiveness. And you say, I don't want this bag anymore. I don't want to carry this anymore. This isn't dependent upon the person who gave you the bag. You understand that? This is you finding freedom from a Savior who made a way. You know why He wants you and I to give forgiveness? It's not for the other person. Many times the person who gave you these bags, they don't even know. They've forgotten. It was unimportant to them. The reason that God wants you and I to offer forgiveness is so we get rid of the baggage and we get freedom when we lay our bags at His feet. This Savior who loves you so much that wants an eternal life for you with Him also wants you to have a life full of freedom from all the baggage. Will you bow your heads? Close your eyes for a minute. The praise team's going to come. We're going to stand and sing a hymn of invitation. If you don't know Christ today, don't walk out of here without knowing Him. He died for you. If you do know Him, and maybe you're carrying a lot of baggage, I want to invite you to do something today. It might be a little uncomfortable, but it will be incredibly freeing. I want to invite you to come down here and lay your bags with all of these. And walk out of here with the freedom of forgiveness. You see, you and I can stifle what God wants to do in us when we don't give forgiveness. Nobody's going to think worse of you. We all carry baggage. If you want somebody to pray with you, come down here. We'll be here. If you're tired of carrying the baggage of a hurt from last week, last month, or last year, as we sing, come and lay it on the altar and give it to Jesus. Will you stand with me?